Our first reading is taken from the book of Isaiah, chapter 40, and beginning at verse 1, and can be found on page 723 in the Church Bible. Comfort for God's people. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. So have I gone? Oh, I haven't. Is that right? A voice of one calling in the desert. Prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight in the wilderness a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hillside made low. The rough ground shall become level, the rugged places a plain. And the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all mankind together will see it. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, cry out. And I said, what shall I cry? All men are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, because the breath of the Lord blows on them. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers and the flowers fall. But the word of the Lord God stands forever. You who bring good tidings to Zion, go up on a high mountain. You who bring good tidings to Jerusalem, lift up your voice with a shout. Lift it up, do not be afraid. Say to the towns of Judah, here is your God. See, the sovereign Lord comes with power, and his arm rules for him. See, his reward is with him, and his recompense accompanies him. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Sorry about that.
Taking a leaf out of my book. To make a few mistakes along the way. It gives other people permission. There we go. That's my story and I'm sticking to it.
Our second reading is taken from Mark's Gospel, chapter 1, and this can be found on page 1002 in the Pew Bibles. Mark chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. John the Baptist prepares the way. The beginning of the gospel about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. It is written in Isaiah the prophet. I will send my message ahead of you, who will prepare your way. A voice of one calling in the desert. Prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight paths for him. And so John came, baptizing the desert region, and preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. The whole Judean countryside and all of the people of Jerusalem went out to him. Confessing their sins, they were baptized by him in the Jordan River. John wore clothing made of camel's hair with a leather belt round his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. And this was his message. After me will come one more powerful than I, the thongs of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Carol. Let's invite Charlie to come and we'll just pray for her as she shares what's on her heart this morning as she reflects on our passages. Father God, we do thank you for Charlie. We thank you for her faithfulness, Lord, and her love for you. May you speak through her today and by your Spirit, would you open our hearts and minds to receive what you would have us take away, that we would become more and more like your Son Jesus and love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Well, good morning. Are you enjoying the Advent readings by Matt Searles? He began with Isaiah 40, verses 1 to 11. And he says, the great promise of comfort in Isaiah, the good news of hope, is that God would come to rescue and then dwell with his people. He goes on to say that when Mark opens his gospel with a quote from Isaiah 40, it is to signify that these promises of comfort are being fulfilled in Jesus. And we're going to explore these promises further. But first, I want to tell you a story by Max Lucado about Chippy the parakeet. Chippy the parakeet never saw it coming. One second, he was peacefully perched in his cage. The next, he was sucked in, washed up, and blown over. The problem began when Chippy's owner decided to clean Chippy's cage with a vacuum cleaner. She removed the attachment from the end of the hose and stuck it in the cage. The phone rang, and she turned to pick it up. She barely said hello when Chippy got sucked in. The bird owner gasped, put down the phone, turned off the vacuum and opened the bag. There was Chippy, still alive, but stunned. Since the bird was covered with dust and soot, she grabbed him and raced to the bathroom, turned on the tap and held Chippy under the running water. Then realizing that Chippy was soaked and shivering, she did what any compassionate bird owner would do. She reached for the hairdryer and blasted the pet with hot air. Poor Chippy never knew what hit him. A few days after the trauma, the reporter who'd initially written about the event contacted Chippy's owner to see how the bird was recovering. Well, she replied, Chippy doesn't sing much anymore. He just sits and stares. It's hard not to see why. Sucked in, washed up and blown over. That's enough to steal the song from the stoutest heart. I wonder how many of us at times felt a little bit like Chippy, sucked in, washed up and blown over. Perhaps the Israelites felt a little like that in our passage for today. Chapter 39, verses 6 to 7, Isaiah lets Hezekiah know what God has revealed is going to happen as a result of Israel's sin. And actually, in 587 BC, Jerusalem was conquered and destroyed by the Babylonian Empire. And the leaders and a significant number of the population were marched off to Babylon. Do you remember the Boney M song by the Rivers of Babylon? Don't start funking it. Isaiah 40 speaks to the Israelites in exile. In the darkest moments, the call goes out to speak words of comfort. But what does comfort mean to you? Does it mean free from problems, cuddled up in front of a nice fire? Security, peace, a comfortable life, or maybe reaching out to someone who's going through a hard time, giving someone a hug. In our passage today, it certainly doesn't mean a comfortable life in this world. As Christians, we cannot expect a trouble-free life. Jesus said in John 16, verse 33, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Unlike the owner of Chippy, nothing takes God by surprise. All things are under his control. He is sovereign. But he also cares for us. And even in difficult times, we can be confident. Romans 8:28 says, "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose." But what is this comfort that the passage in Isaiah tells us about? Well, first of all, it's comfort because sins have been forgiven. Verse 1 and 2, "Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for her sins." Notice the direction is to speak words of comfort to my people. The message is to God's chosen people. We might be surrounded by trouble, but on every side, but God has not forgotten us. We are his people. And what is this comfort? Speak tenderly. In other words, speak to the heart, initiating a response of love. It is a message of deliverance. Sin has been paid for. The period of duress is over. And the words written in Isaiah 40, written before the exile, brought comfort to the Israelites in Babylon. They must have thought God had abandoned them because of their sin. But the words were spoken tenderly, reminding them of God's care and love for them. In the short term, the Israelites did return from exile in Babylon when Cyrus, king of Persia, conquered Babylon. But at a deeper level, the passage points to the coming Messiah, Jesus, who finally dealt with sin. He came to pay the price for our sin, that all who believe in him might be forgiven. But Jesus will also return in glory and restore all things and take us home. It speaks to us now, to all who put their trust in Jesus as Lord and Saviour. It's a message of reassurance for the present and certain hope for the future. But it's also comfort because God is coming. Do you despair at the news, full of sadness and suffering, countries at war, the suffering of those caught up in it, climate seemingly out of control, floods, droughts, the plight of the poor, the homeless? Take comfort. It won't always be like this. The Lord is coming. We need to prepare. Verse 3, "In the desert, prepare the way for the Lord. Come to the Lord Jesus. Ask forgiveness for your sin. Draw near to God through his word. Let the Holy Spirit into every part of your life." Verse 3 says, "A voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord." Now, if royalty was going due to visit this area, everything would have a makeover. Potholes would be filled along the roads, and that would be good, wouldn't it? And lots of preparation would take place. We are expecting the return of the King of Kings. We need to be ready. But we can also be assured that nothing will hinder the Lord's return. Verse 4, every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall become level, the rugged places a plain. The Lord's road is to be straight, level, and free of obstacles. He will arrive without fail, travel without difficulty, and will not be delayed by any hindrances. And when he comes, all mankind will see him. The glory of the Lord will be revealed. So comfort is promised. What God promises will happen. Verses 6 to 8. We can be certain that what God promises will happen. Mankind is transient and unreliable. All men are like grass, and their glory is like the flowers of the field. No matter how hard we try, we often fail. In our humanity, we are fallen and temporary. How wonderful that the comfort promised does not rely on us. We are here today and gone tomorrow, but God's word is eternal. What God promises, he will do. And what he promises in his word will come to pass. But the best is yet to come. In verse 9, we're called to proclaim the good news. What is this good news we are to proclaim? In the Message translation, it says this: God the Master comes in power, ready to go into action. He's going to pay back his enemies and reward those who have loved him and who love him. And verse 11 in NIV, he tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young. Now, a word about sheep. Sheep have no means to defend themselves. When threatened, they run. They need leading to pasture and water. And they often break out of fields and get lost. They need looking after. And we are like sheep. When we stray, God brings us back. When in danger, God protects us from harm. When we fall down, he picks us up. The God of mighty power, of verse 10, comes as a shepherd in gentleness and tenderness to rescue us and to lead us home. He has rescued us from death by taking our sin in his body on the cross. He carries us, the weak, the vulnerable, those struggling, close to his heart and takes us home. So what can we take from this passage into next week when we're faced with difficulties, when we see all the suffering portrayed on the news? Focus on the comfort of God's word. Those who believe and trust in Jesus are forgiven. God's word is eternal. God will return to take us home. Many years ago, I sat by my mother's bed as she was dying. She was clearly in pain, and I prayed, "Lord, take her home." The Lord replied, "The room's not ready yet." And he reminded me of John 14, verse 2, "In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go to and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am." 2 days later, she died. Whether we die or the Lord returns, we have a hope which is steadfast and certain, rooted in his word. The Lord will return and take us home. Let us pray. Father, we thank you that you love us so much, that you have provided us opportunity for our sins to be forgiven by believing and trusting in your Son. Help us, Father, to focus on you. Help us to draw close to you and hold on to this hope. But most of all, Lord, help us to share that hope this Christmas with those that we meet, those who don't yet know you. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.